What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And joining us on Skype right now is Daniel Amaduri from Future Money Trends. And Daniel, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Aloha, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I think the obvious first place to start is tell us about Future Money Trends and what it is you're all about.
Sure. I run futuremoneytrends.com. It's focused on personal finance and really looking for ideas that are outside of Wall Street. We're trying to make better decisions for our own finances, whether the economy is going to collapse or boom, or there's going to be stagflation. I think ultimately your best answer for the economy is looking at you in the mirror. And that's what we focus on at Future Money Trends.
Okay, so let's shift the discussion here. What do you think about the current economy? Which way do you think it's heading?
You know, that's an interesting question, because do we have a real economy right now? You know, with all the emergency measures that started in 2008 and all the misallocation that we've seen for decades and decades by the government, from housing to college to healthcare, that's a very rough forecast, because I used to think it was easier. And I even got lucky predicting the 2008 crisis almost down to the month. But more and more, I look at this economy, Michael, and it's very hard to figure it out, because you've actually got some genuinely good things coming out of the United States, specifically because of the dollars that are in the economy with sustainable spending from the tax cut and the rollback of regulation. So that's good on that front. The problem is we are living in an illusionary environment when it comes to many other things in our economy. So if you ask me what's the direction of our economy, I would say the U.S. economy is certainly better than it was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or maybe even 10 years ago. But we do have some very systemic problems in front of us that ultimately are going to have to get dealt with. And I kind of think I know how they're going to deal with them. You know, from pensions to the actual debt of the government and interest rates being unable to actually go to normalized levels because it would just implode the whole system, I think we are in a direction that will probably remain the same over the next 6 months to a year. I think that's the best answer I could give.
Well, one of the things that makes prognostication difficult is that so much of the economic indicators we get from the government and the corporate media are of, shall we say, questionable accuracy. We know that the unemployment numbers are being fudged. We know that the rate of inflation is being fudged. They don't include food and fuel, which is where inflationary pressures start to show up first in the consumer economy. We think the gross domestic product numbers are also being rigged. And it's almost like the old Soviet Union, where things were breaking down and all the government could think of doing was just try and reassure everybody, it's all okay, it's all okay, it's all okay. And there's this ongoing debate over whether we really have a 2% unemployment rate when the Bureau of Labor Statistics has a number saying that we only have a 62% workforce participation rate. So these two numbers are not really lining up. As you said, government debt is a problem. I would add to that consumer debt. Consumers, mm-hmm. We're trying to pay down their debt, but they're being forced to literally live on their credit cards now as prices start going on up. So I'm a little less optimistic about the economy than you are. I think it's very, very fragile right now. And it's one of the reasons why I think the trade war, sanctions and tariffs were not a good idea at this time. Now, what is your take on this?
Well, I think the fragility of the economy, that word is perfect, because just like an egg, it can look, you know, it can look very strong. It can hold in the yolk, but it doesn't take much to crack it, and it can be cracked many different ways. And I think that's the same thing with our economy. It may on the surface, it looks like it's doing okay. It looks like it's chugging along. But the reality is, it's very fragile. It wouldn't take much. It would take a small country blowing out on treasuries, or it could take actually even less than that. It could take a statement from the president of China, or even a smaller country like Russia, which has a very small economy. It wouldn't take much to tip it over. You know, so, you know, as far as the tariffs, here's my thought, and I tend to agree with Trump on this, that there is no trade war. The trade war was lost 15 plus years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And, you know, any actions the United States takes, it's in a situation like with China is the best example. You know, we don't sell them enough stuff for them to actually have true retaliation. But they sell us a ton of stuff. Now, their real retaliation is in the treasury market if they wanted to. But even that, I don't think they're going to do, because what all global leaders want is they want to stay in power and they want global stability. So that's the one thing I think, you know, I underestimated in the 2008 crisis. I thought that we would go into a systemic crisis and ultimately a global reset right after. Now, that all will still happen, in my opinion. It just didn't happen in 2009 or 2010. But it's because I underestimate the fact that the Federal Reserve, the central bankers around the world, all these people in power, they will do anything they can to keep stability and keep kicking this can down the road.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's going to be what they want to do. And they've kicked this can down the road so much it looks like an old used up gum wrapper. Back in 2009, when we were dealing with the aftermath of that crisis, we were beginning to see the downside of economic globalism, because this meltdown in the mortgage-backed securities should have been an American problem. And yet, because of all the links between American and European banks, a lot of European banks were put in a very, very serious situation, crisis situation. And we were hearing all these stories about gold bearer bonds, you know, being transferred covertly and all kinds of stuff. And then years after that, we started hearing other stories about how gold that was supposedly being kept in vaults in New York and Paris and London wasn't there anymore. And when countries like Germany demanded the repatriation of their gold, they didn't get back the bars they had sent over. They got back different bars, which turned out to be not as pure. So was the gold simply being rehypothecated? Was it being leased out the back door? And I remember this ridiculous editorial came out of CNBC saying, well, as long as we have the number on a piece of paper, it doesn't matter if the gold is really there or not, which is going to be hard to sell to the people whose gold it is. Or was the gold used to prop up the banks, keep them from collapsing following 2008? We don't really know. We do know there is an issue with the gold not being there, though.
Sure. And there's also a very serious situation with peak gold. Where you haven't had a major discovery in over 20 years. Exploration, you used to be able to get a pretty good return on exploration. They spent more money on exploring for gold in 2012 than ever. In fact, you could probably take it cumulatively, like from 2000 to 2010, that's how much they spent in 2012, 2013, and nothing. I mean, no meaningful deposits, no big, you know, 20 million ounce discoveries that we used to see 40 or 50 years ago. And the supply line is horrendous. And these mining companies, they're making a little money, but they're really not making enough sustainable profits to where they can actually reinvest and explore. And so far, what we're seeing is they're exploring, they're not finding it. But, you know, look, with the gold market, it's one of the most manipulated markets in the world. But I really personally don't point it out that often, just because all the markets are manipulated. Even our data, our news is manipulated. Everything is manipulated, as you know. I mean, you run a website called What Really Happened, because of the reason that everything we literally turn to in the mainstream is manipulated. And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, the news just hit right now before this interview that, you know, a Russian's been arrested for infiltrating our media. I mean, come on, yes. Give me a break. How many people have infiltrated our media over the past 50 years, from the CIA to other foreign governments? But, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, if you didn't believe in the deep state or conspiracy theories before Trump, Trump's brought them all out into the open. Whether you hate Trump or love Trump, I think people have to admit, Trump has brought the deep state out to where they are naked. And,
yes,
you know, so then going back to the question about gold, I mean, come on, if they'll try to take out a sitting U.S. president with lies, will they not manipulate the gold price to prop up the most important thing that underpins the entire financial system, the U.S. dollar? Absolutely. Their ability to print and create out of thin air digital currency, their ability to loan money to rich and natural resource economies, emerging markets in Africa and South America, you know, will they not protect that to the death? You're damn right they'll protect that to the death. I mean, on a side note, taking out Trump is a small a task for these people compared to the financial shenanigans they have going on.
Well, I think that the gold prices are being manipulated. I think they're being artificially suppressed so that people won't close their savings accounts and get into metals. People won't empty their stock portfolios and get into metals. And also because these organizations that played fast and loose with other people's gold, they're trying to now buy it back. And obviously they want the lowest possible price that they can get. I think if there wasn't this rigging of the markets going on, that gold would be worth a heck of a lot more than it is right now. But you're right. Everything is rigged. It's all crooked. Jesse James was right. You know, the banks are the biggest outlaws that are out there. And we're seeing shenanigans with silver. I'm old enough to remember the Bunker Hunt scandal. But that unbridled printing and creation of money, sooner or later, that is going to come back to bite us, because there really isn't anything backing up the value of the dollar. It's not linked to gold. It's not linked to silver. Basically, it's linked to treasury bonds, which represent a promise to take money away from the American people to repay those bonds somewhere down the road with the accumulated interest. And I know that as nations do move out of the U.S. treasuries, and some of them are starting to do it slowly, that the Federal Reserve is just creating money out of thin air to buy up those treasuries. And right now we have this privately owned central bank that now owns, I mean, a significant chunk of the outstanding treasury bonds. And that gives them a lot of political power as well. So the lines between monetary policy and domestic policy are starting to get very, very blurry indeed.
Sure. And, you know, we can only hope. You know, I have three small children, so I certainly don't want the currency to collapse and to have a major crisis. It's going to happen, but I can only hope that the goodwill that the president is making with Russia, and perhaps the goodwill that he made with China when he, you know, brought a little more stability to that region with the recent meeting with the Korean leader, I hope that they'll keep it going for a little longer. I know that sounds horrible. But, you know, look, I've got little kids, and, you know, as much as I can see that everything that's happening and the scams and the fraud that happens, I certainly don't want to see some sort of implosion. It would be nice if there was some sort of concentrated and focused and coordinated reset, because ultimately there's going to have to be a reset. You know, if we could reset this with a tie to gold or silver or commodities, or at the free market, you know, I think Bitcoin, it's just not there. But I mean, if something, there has to be an alternative to go to before we just see the dollar collapse. And that's the real risk in something like a trade war or these tariffs. Yes. Is that ultimately China could win at, that's the problem. They could win at the snap of a finger. The good news is I don't think they want to destroy $1 trillion of treasury holdings that they have.
No, they definitely don't want to do that. And I would like to see something gentle, a gentle reset. Unfortunately, the people who've got the money, they're addicts. They're money junkies. And they don't want to change any of their policies, because right now the money is flowing from the masses into their pockets. And they think that's just the way the world is supposed to be. One way that we could certainly start a gentle reset is to get away from this idea of using a currency that is loaned into circulation at interest, and go back to the system this nation started with, where the government coined the money, was real metal coins, and they spent it into circulation to buy what the government needed. It flowed through commerce without accruing interest, and then was taxed back in the same amount to balance the books and close the cycle. That was an honest money system. And unfortunately, as soon as the revolution was won, you already had bankers in Europe and their allies in the United States trying to undermine that, trying to put the U.S. back into debt to a bank. And we had the first and second banks of the United States, followed by the Federal Reserve. And these are all basically the very same usurious banking system we fought the revolution to be free of.
You know, absolutely. And a lot of people don't realize, they think the dollar has been around since Adam and Eve. And they don't realize this is like the fifth currency we've used. I mean, it depends if you count the continental, but I mean, the gold-backed dollar, the thousands of private currencies that were available to us, the competing currencies, the state currencies, the greenback, and of course when we actually used to be able to exchange your dollars for gold, and then the dollar was backed by gold for other foreign entities. And then, of course, in 1971, we went to this fiat currency that's just 100%. But what makes the 1971 change so interesting is that it's the first time the whole world went to a fiat system. That has never been tried before. And same thing with the negative interest rates. You know, when a third of the central banks are negative, or they're even negative now, the U.S., when you consider against real inflation, that's never been tried. Right. And that essentially is default. You know, if I loan you $10 and you guarantee you're going to pay me back $9.50, that's not a negative interest rate. That's called default. And that's where we are. But, you know, all these things, I honestly would not have thought they would have been able to fly on a global scale like this. But then you've got, you know, I think it's in Austria where they sold a 100-year bond last year. My goodness, a 100-year bond, and of all things, it was like 3%. So it's certainly interesting to see how this has played out. And one thing I have personally learned in my own life is there are a lot of unknowns out there. And so I'm not as certain in my forecast, which is why I do try to bring it back to the individual, what we can do as individuals to prepare ourselves. Because you want to prepare for a crisis. You want to prepare for a global reset. But at the same point in time, you've got to live your life. You know, ultimately, the people in your lives and this finite time we have on this beautiful planet, you don't want to, you know, get stuck in a rut here. But certainly the problems we face are systemic and they're very large. And I urge people to definitely prepare.
Well, that's something that we tell people to do here as well. But again, I look at what's going on here, and whether it's the negative interest rates or the fiat currency, I'm not certain it's actually working, because it seems like over the long term, we're definitely headed downhill. One way we could reset the system without changing much of anything is to simply zero out all the accumulated debt. But again, the bankers are not going to go along with that, because that debt gives them power over people, over governments, over countries. And so we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I mean, Congress has the authority to rescind the charter of the Federal Reserve and go back to an honest money system. But they'll never do it, because Wall Street is such a great campaign donor every election cycle. But something's going to break. There is no question in my mind, something's going to break. We're going to reach a point where enough countries around the world are going to stop going through the U.S. dollar because of that interest that is being paid for, or because it's now seen as unreliable. Where we're going to see our economic system start to come apart, because making money off our money is the main business of the United States. We've allowed our manufacturing to decline over the last 30 years. We don't make things people want. Even our weapon systems, overpriced, not working very well. Nobody wants our GMO agriculture. And so the U.S. has literally run out of ways to earn a livelihood. And instead, they're playing global games with their paper currency. And I don't see that as likely to turn out very well. I don't see our economy as robust and resilient enough to sustain a trade war. And, you know, we'll see all this stuff about how, oh, my goodness, this company's added 10 jobs and that company's added 10 jobs. But as one of my callers earlier in the show was pointing on out, if you look at Trump's sanctions on Iran, that's cost Boeing a huge amount of money, because Iran was buying 747s from Boeing. And now Iran may turn to Russia, or they may just develop their own domestic airline industry. Anyway, we have to take a 3-minute break for commercials, Daniel. So stay on the line and we will be right back.
Yeah. My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Jericho, welcome back to our show. We're talking with Daniel Amaduri of Future Money Trends, and I would like to move on to the topic of wealth inequality, because for an economy to operate, you've got to have currency flowing freely at all levels of the society and into all necessary sectors of development. But because of the way taxes have been rewritten in recent years, the money basically flows to the top and it just sits there. There's no recycling down to the bottom. And we're seeing it in the collapse of the consumer economy. We're seeing in this insane drive to keep wages and salaries, way, way down, even as prices and rents and everything else is going up. And it just seems like our national economic policy is not being well thought out. It's just being driven by greed. And if there's an area that needs rebalancing right now, it's that ordinary working people, middle class people, they have to be able to have jobs that pay them well enough where they can go on out and buy the products in the shopping malls. And that's not happening. And from where I sit, the degree of wealth inequality, which is, I think, at an all-time record high, is only getting worse because of the way the tax codes are written.
And I think there's a transition too with the freelance economy, and it's very unfortunate that not only are they manipulating corporations into being, they're feeding their greed essentially with this cheap money and these loans where they do these buybacks. It helps the people in stocks, which is great because those are, you know, people who, you know, have 401ks and savings accounts and they're investing, but the vast majority of people don't own stock. And then yes. When it comes to wages, they've literally regulated and put so much weight on employers and businesses where they've made employees a liability. And that's very unfortunate because I know as a business owner, it's not easy. It's not as easy as it should be. It should be very simple to hire somebody. It should be very simple to give somebody some sort of permanent relationship with you where you're working with them. But because of the regulations and the tax code and, you know, even Obamacare, I mean, where you're responsible for all these different things, you're responsible for someone's health care, I'm responsible for their retirement. And then again, this all came from the government when they did the wage freezes. Back in the 70s, employers needed something to bring people in, so they started using healthcare as an incentive. And now here we are. Now, a lot of people have gone, a lot of businesses have gone the independent contractor way. Well, luckily, yes. Technology has helped a little bit to where, you know, if you are a freelancer or are forced into the independent contractor world, it's $10 for a website, you have social networking. It's definitely possible, and I think actually I at this point I would encourage people just to embrace it and make the best of it, because the idea of what the baby boomers had is not going to happen for the millennials or the generation after the millennials. But it's very unfortunate what's happened to this country, and I'm sure globalization had a lot to do with it as well. So we have had a higher quality of life, but the wages have not gone up. It's incredible when you look at a chart. For houses, for college, for healthcare costs, for almost anything in our lives, the charts are nice and smooth going up. Some of them go parabolic, like college and healthcare. But it blows me away when you look at the wages. The wages have not gone up at all for 17 years. It's an incredible thing that's happened here in the United States, and no one really talks about it when they talk about wage equality, but that's about as far as they'll go. Nobody really talks about any solutions. And if anything, we're just rewarding the big corporations and we're rewarding them with more cheap money. And this is just going to go on no matter what, whether it's Republican or Democrat, nothing really changes because ultimately the source of this problem is the Federal Reserve System itself. And that is, yes. That is the cancer that they do not want to address.
You're absolutely right about that. And again, as I said earlier in the hour, it's basically the same type of predatory banking we fought the revolution to break free of, only to get sold back into its slavery by a corrupt Congress and a corrupt president a little over 100 years ago. Now, as you know, we're coming up on, no, I got another minute here. As you know, we got a new tax code courtesy of the Trump administration, and it was promised that 70% of the tax cut would go to workers, and it didn't work out that way. The corporations took their additional money and started buying back their own stock. And again, we're rewarding the wrong people in our society. And because politicians will basically vote with their wallets, corporations and their lobbyists can come on in and basically get pretty much everything they want. I mean, look when 2008 happened, and it was TARP and bailouts and QE and all the rest of it. And these members of Congress weren't looking after the American people. They were looking after their own stock portfolios that were at risk from the meltdown of the mortgage-backed security. Okay, now we got to take another break for commercials. This one will be 4 minutes long, and we'll be back with Daniel Amadouri after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking with Daniel Amaduri from Future Money Trends. And Daniel, looking at our economy right now, again, I want to go back to this issue of the tariffs and the sanctions. I think our economy can't survive it. And right now, we're seeing a lot of economic activity where companies are trying to build up their inventories of raw materials before the tariffs take effect. But that may make the market look good immediately, but it's just building inventory. They're not shipping and selling finished supplies. So I think that the tariff fear, if you will, is having a temporarily positive effect. But I think we're going to see a major decline for the rest of the year because of all this nonsense.
Well, we've been in decline for 20 some odd years because that this nonsense has been happening to us without doing anything about it. So I don't know. There probably will be short term pain relative to the size of our economy and relative to global trade. I don't even think the tariffs are 0.5% of global trade. So I don't want to blow it off, but it's also, in context, it's very small, and we have to keep in mind that we have had tariffs placed on us as Americans, our goods going to other countries, forever, and for the last 20 years by China and even Mexico and Canada. Despite the whole idea of free trade and NAFTA, the tariffs have been happening on the U.S. products for a long time. Same thing, and you know, presidents talked about this as well with the EU. So, look, we've been in decline for 20 years, serious decline. I mean, for 20 years, we've been in decline for probably 50. But you can, you know, look, these tariffs that Trump's putting on and the retaliation, I mean, they can retaliate again. But, you know, if I'm your customer and, you know, you sell me one thing and I sell you 10 things, I purchase 10 things from you and you purchase one thing from me, I think the U.S. Has an upper hand in the sense that we have less things that they can put tariffs on, and they're already putting tariffs on us. I would call ours retaliatory, not the ones that they put on us. So in my opinion, that, you know, the economy is very fragile, like you said before. So, you know, people could hurt the economy, or the governments could hurt the economy without any tariff or trade war. They could hurt us. We're most vulnerable in the treasury market, and they know that. And it's a matter of, they don't even have to blow out the bid on treasuries. All they have to do is put out a statement, and or for China's purposes, since they've been selling long term and buying short term, all they have to do is allow these things to mature, and they can actually exit the treasury market without even selling treasuries. They can exit it just by letting them mature and not buying more, not recycling the money in. So okay. it. You know, for me, I don't know if the tariffs are that big of a problem as the treasury market. I think that's where they could really hurt us if they wanted to.
Well, there's definitely a risk factor in the treasury market here. But my concern about the sanctions and the tariffs is they're being overused, and it's carrying with it not just an economic cost, but a political one. And I think carried to too far a level, it's going to isolate the United States economically and politically. We're starting to already see other countries that just don't want to seem to do business with us anymore, no matter what the price situation is. And I think a lot of countries are starting to get a view of Donald Trump that he's just throwing his weight around a little too much. And he certainly got a rebuke when he was over there at the NATO summit. Where he was told, you know, you got to take care of the allies you've got, because we really don't rule the world anymore. So, well, getting on back to being prepared, let's bring it down to the personal level. What do you recommend for ordinary people like you and I and our listeners to do to be prepared to weather a potential storm?
I think the first thing is information. People are flooding their head with bad information. I would say when it comes to CNN and Fox and MSNBC and these main channels, just completely disregard them. When it comes to social networking, don't allow them to suck you in to this unhealthy environment for your mind and getting focused on all these the politics and the hysteria of the day. It's gotten out of control. So for your own health, don't watch the regular news. Watch, you know, go to whatreallyhappened.com. Check out websites, you know, there is other alternative media. Go to futuremoneytrends.com. I mean, but I would not get my information from these CIA-backed news agencies. They've proven themselves to be completely illegitimate just in the past few years. They've really shown themselves and exposed themselves. So the first preparation is just getting your mind right. But then, you know, you have to go back to sustainability for your own life. If you can see all the things that are wrong with the U.S. government and the current economy, make sure those same things don't apply to your own life. So make sure you don't have consumer debt. Make sure you do everything you can to have a sustainable lifestyle. Get your bills down. Move to another state with low taxes. Move to another region with lower expenses. And really have a sustainable life. I think many of us have been robbed of a life because of this chase of consumerism and debt and these brands and all this nonsense where we've missed out on this life. So prepare your mind, prepare your life with sustainability. And then I think you should ultimately come back to some honest money. You want to own some gold and silver, not because you think that they're going to go to the moon, but because you think that you can preserve your wealth and you'll want that insurance in case there is a systemic crisis. You also need to plan with your family. What are you going to do if there is a grid failure in the U.S. economy? What are you going to do if there is a currency crisis? Do you have enough water to go for 30 days or 3 months? Do you have enough food? And a lot of people think I'm crazy when they come to my house and they see different things, you know, like food preparation. And they say, you'll never need that much food. And I said, I sure hope not. But you know what? I'm not just preparing for myself. Look, let's be real, guys. If you're listening to this show and you're buying food preparation stuff, you're not going to let the five-year-old across the street die. You're not going to let somebody with a one-year-old baby starve to death. So don't just prepare for yourself. Prepare for as many people as you can, because in that time of crisis, you're going to need people. People are going to be your best assets. You know, you're going to want somebody to help. If we're in a situation where there's a complete reset and there's hyperinflation or some sort of crisis or there's fires in the street, you know, consider all the people that live around you as an asset, and also just be real with yourself. You know, it's you know, when you're watching Hollywood and you're watching a Walking Dead show or something, it's very easy to pretend that you could be Superman and, you know, this incredible sniper or you know, heartless and make the toughest decisions. But in reality, that's just not the case. And I think when you are preparing, I do think people should prepare for other people. And a lot of people say, well, they get what they get because they didn't prepare. But let's be real. There's a lot of children. And how are they supposed to prepare for themselves, even if their parents are ignoramuses? I think one of the things that people should consider when they're doing food prep or they're buying, you know, gold and silver or guns and ammo, I think you should really think of the big picture, that you might be a potential leader during a very, very harsh crisis, which could happen. And people think it can't happen. But look, the Soviet Union collapsed. And, you know, 30 years ago, that was a mega power. And, you know, right now, the U.S. Is kind of, you know, its goodwill is done. It stepped on a lot of toes. It's killed a lot of people with drones. And a lot of people are tired of this this U.S. rule. Now, we still have the 4,000 nuclear warheads or so that back the U.S. dollar. But even that is becoming less relevant because there are other superpowers that don't want to play these games. They don't have to play these games. You know, if it's one thing that the world learned with Saddam Hussein is if you have a nuclear weapon, the United States will, or excuse me, if you don't have a nuclear weapon, you'll get invaded. But if you do, you'll get a summit. So I think there's enough powers out there in the world that when things do change, I think Americans should be prepared for a drastic change in lifestyle.
Well, I'm absolutely in agreement with what you're saying here. We talk about prepping a lot on the show, and a lot of what we say kind of overlaps. If you want to get into silver, one of the easiest ways that you can is go out and buy what is called junk silver. Now, these are the pre-1965 coins that are made of silver. The dimes and quarters are, the nickels are real nickel. And it's a very inexpensive way to start collecting precious metals. But more importantly, it is a known and recognized unit of denomination, where if there is a major upheaval, it's going to be the new currency, and you will buy and sell things with these coins that have an intrinsic value. So, Daniel, we're going to take a quick phone call here, and then I'm going to come back to you here. Murr in Wisconsin, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to give some really good news, and you won't hear it on the Bolshevik news. There's a brand new state in South Africa. They just raised the flag at 11 p.m. their time last night. The Khoi. Have you heard of them? Karen Smith is who I just heard this from. And
I had not heard anything about it. And thank you for the information. I will definitely look into that. And if you don't mind,
I'm sending you the link. Thank you. I'm sending you the link. I just wanted your listeners to hear. This is good news. Some people will know.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. And we're going to let you go and get on back to Daniel Amaduri. So we're talking about prepping. We're talking about being able to get your hands on silver and some gold and planning to feed your neighborhood. Now, for some of us who live in very tiny accommodations, that may not be practical. You may want to think about getting a storage shed. But the other reason to plan about feeding your neighborhood is once people know you're a prepper, you become a potential target. And so it's like a running joke out there. The first rule of Prepper Club is we don't talk about Prepper Club. But we always want to try and encourage other people to be ready. And another one of the jokes that we have around here is, how do you tell who's a prepper? They're the ones not eating out of the trash dumpster following a natural disaster, which, as you know, we've had a bunch of them out here in Hawaii lately. So we do need to be prepared. Bad things happen, whether it's from the weather, volcano, government, war, and a certain degree of preparedness is necessary. And I understand why those institutions of government that are trying to basically increase your dependency on them are sort of opposed to that. They don't want people to be able to live their lives and conduct business without the government, because dependency is slavery. So we're coming up here. We've got about another 5 minutes in this segment, followed by about another 4 minutes in our final segment. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
You know, I would just comment on the gold and silver. The prices right now are super cheap relative to how much it costs to mine. And even the numismatic coins, which I would never recommend, and I think they're a scam pretty much. However, I've got to say, the numismatic coins, which sometimes have a 50% premium on them during good times, during good gold market times, are selling for about $10 more than an American Eagle. So there are a lot of great deals out there right now. And even numismatics, which, again, I only want the ounce. I don't care about the historical thing. But the fact of the matter is I can buy that ounce that does have that historical value for like $10 more on a $1,300 purchase. And that's a pretty good deal, because if we do go to some crisis times, which I think we both agree that we are, those premiums will go up. So, I mean, look, I'm definitely not a proponent. I've never advocated those, but they're selling for the same cost as an ounce of gold. So why not?
Well, absolutely. And of course, gold is a good thing to own here. And one little warning you have to keep in mind, and I learned this one myself the hard way, those gold coins lose their value if you eat that chocolate bit out of the middle. All right, not so funny. I take it back. All righty. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. If you don't have anything else, then I think we're going to let you go, and I'm going to fill in the rest of the show with some news here.
So, well, thank you very much for having me say? On. No,
thank you very much.
Everybody can check us out at Future Money. Yeah, check us out at futuremoneytrends.com. You can subscribe to my weekly wealth digest. And look, I've been prepping for, gosh, 16 years now. And if you have any questions, please email me at daniel@futuremoneytrends.com.
Okay, that's futuremoneytrends.com once again. And Daniel, we'll have you back on the show in the not very distant future.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good one.
All right. All right, thank you. Now, first of all, before I get back to the news here, I'm watching as the corporate media just uncork on Donald Trump. And they're coming out with some outrageous things here, about how this proves he likes dictators and tyrants. His meeting with Putin is being called treason, above high crimes and misdemeanors. They're trying to turn this summit meeting into an impeachable offense. They absolutely do not want Trump to get anything good out of this summit. And of course, they're destroying their own credibility. Their ratings are in the Al-Qaeda here. But this has to be about Hillary in 2020. This has to be about Hillary running again in 2020 and not wanting to run against Donald Trump. So they have to destroy Trump in the eyes of the GOP party. So anyway, getting on back to the economic news, Amazon's European workers have gone on strike as Jeff Bezos' net worth tops $150 billion. He's now the richest man in the world. And the European workers were boycotting the company ahead of the global Prime Day. And they ran into problems with that. Apparently, the site crashed and left thousands of shoppers unable to make purchases. So, didn't go very well over there. Okay, over in San Francisco, they have a new mayor, and London Breed. She's a Democrat, Trump hater, black female, covered all the liberal bases, and basically came on out on her press conference, said she's committed to making the increasingly expensive and unlivable city accessible to people from all socioeconomic backgrounds. In other words, she's going to maintain the sanctuary city status. And it's not looking too good. More about that when we come back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, final segment of our program today on this Monday. We're talking about San Francisco's new mayor, London Breed. And she's already out there saying, sanctuary city, sanctuary city. Grabbed her mic and basically directed remarks right at Trump about we're going to do this. Her first order of business, apparently, is responding to the complaints about all the raw sewage in the streets there. And so apparently she's announced a plan to ask vagrants to kindly refrain from pooing on the street. Well, where are they going to go? That's the problem. Now, what was really interesting is this London breed was taking a stroll down the street. The press was with her. And the camera actually caught a druggie shooting up. I mean, right there in the foreground. And apparently, this mayor wants to set up safe injection stations where you can inject your drugs, you know, under supervision. And I don't think that's necessarily a solution to what's going on here. Somebody anonymously took out a full-page ad in the San Franciscan warning residents to watch your backs because the city can't do anything about the homeless crisis, which certainly seems to be the case here. And have you noticed all these so-called liberal strongholds? They're turning into cesspools. You got raw sewage, and everybody's out there talking, oh, climate change, climate change. Forget about climate change. Why didn't you clean up the streets? Why don't you clean up these cities? Now, over in Washington, D.C., there's apparently been some kind of a contamination of the water supply. D.C. Water is advising tens of thousands of residents and businesses in a major part of the city to not drink or cook with tap water without boiling it first because of a contamination risk. So the water safety issue is spreading all across the country. It began in Flint, Michigan. Now it's in Washington, D.C. We're very lucky here in Hawaii. We've got very, very good water. Now, here is a little bit of silliness. And this is coming on out of 12160. Apparently, a group of neighbors got together and pooled their money to build a paddling pool for their kids. And they've been told by officials they have to drain it and take it down every single night because it's a health and safety risk if anyone should try and break into a nearby home. That's literally what they're saying. They have to remove the communal paddling pool. It poses a risk to burglars. I'm sorry. I don't really care if a burglar trips and breaks their leg or something. Serves them right for being a burglar. Okay, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. I got to get stuff done today. And stay tuned for John Steadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. And take what you learn here, share it with everybody. We're in a war for the truth, and times are difficult. Please donate to Republic Broadcasting. Please donate to me, and we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha America. Excuse me, got the hiccups all of a sudden. Aloha America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.